going to go back up to the section number two, initial investigative reviews. Go back to the top to number one, 2341, in regards to Kyle Norman, DVM. Tracy, if you'll read the summary.
Case 2341, the complainant is Virginia Cooper, the respondent is Kyle Norman, DVM. May 11, 2022, Teddy, a 7-plus-year-old male cocker spaniel, was presented to respondent for a licking cause and halitosis. Respondent diagnosed the dog with skin cold, dermatitis on both sides of the dog's mandible. On June 10, 2022, the dog underwent a dental procedure and the skin in question on both sides of the mandible was removed. The dog healed well and the issue was resolved. On September 14, 2022, the dog was presented to respondent for halitosis again. It was determined that new skin fold had developed on the left side of the mouth and was causing odor. An estimate was provided to complainant to repair the new skin fold. Complainant did not feel she should pay for the service as she felt it would not have recurred after the first surgery. Respondent claimed in surgery for free and referred complainant to a dermatologist. And the committee considered that possible violations of the veterinary practice act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board find errors 3222-33D3 for minor records violations that are routine entries into a medical record that do not affect the diagnosis or care of the animal. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, thank you. We don't have the complainant here. We have Mr. Stoll for making a statement.
We do have Mr. Stoll to make a statement. As you just heard, the investigative committee had no medical issues or concerns in this case, and but proposed a minor record-keeping violation. That was because when responding to this complaint, the practice, Prescott Animal Hospital, they could not locate and did not submit the anesthesia consent form and other separate medical records like discharge instructions. These were separate and apart from the computerized medical record. Factually, there's no dispute that the owner signed an anesthesia consent form and was given discharge. Unfortunately, on the day of this dental procedure, a staff member failed to scan those records into the computerized medical record before the records were shredded pursuant to the medical records policy that was in place at the time. That was a premise error, and in that regard, Dr. Norman was not and has never been the premise license holder at Prescott Animal Hospital. Since this incident, the practice has enhanced and upgraded their medical records protocol, and they now have a system where these separate paper records are double-checked to verify that they have been scanned before the records are shredded. Specifically, the documents are initially scanned, highlighted, and retained for 1 month before the medical record is reviewed to verify that the documents have, in fact, been scanned and are in the medical record, and then they are shredded. In advance of today's hearing, we have submitted documentation that was received from Nancy Roble, who is the Prescott Animal Hospital Medical Director. Those documents evidence that this new medical records protocol is in place and hopefully will eliminate the possibility of this mistake happening again in the future. Given that these corrective actions have taken place and the fact that Dr. Norman was not the premise license holder at the time of this practice error, we do not feel that Dr. Norman's license should be disciplined and ask that the complaint against him be dismissed with no violation, or at most you issue a letter of concern regarding these records that were inadvertently shredded by staff before they were scanned. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Cole. And again, we don't have the complainant present. And Dr. Thompson, you are the lead.
Yeah, so in this case, I would tend to agree with the investigative committee as far as the medical concerns. When reading through it, it didn't appear as though the doctor did anything problematic for the pet. the dog is a breed of dog that is prone to having these types of issues. It was temporarily rectified by surgery, but over time developed again, but that is not uncommon. And it's also obvious that the dog had other skin infection issues. The dog had chronic otitis. So I don't think that there was anything done wrong with the surgery. Where I did kind of differ with the investigative committee was along the lines of the medical records and the medical records violation, because again, I I feel that the incident that happened with those medical records was not a direct result of the doctor doing those things. It was of the technical staff, and that doctor is not the premise holder. And it did not affect the overall well-being or health of the animal. So I would actually put a motion to dismiss with no violation.
I'll second that, and I'm going to say, yeah, I agree. I think the minor medical records violation is more missing something in the record itself because the doctor missed it, as opposed to, yeah, the record being deleted from facilities issues.
Okay. Do you have a comment, Jane?
Yes. I was wondering, this, it's not, we're finding this, I think, more and more in many cases that come before the board, where someone is responding in support of the respondent or on the behalf of the respondent, but we don't, they're not regulated by us. Is there a way, and maybe this is a more appropriate legal question, is there a way that we can have the respondent or whoever is regulated by us sign off on the bottom or the top of whatever's being submitted to us on their behalf? Because we're getting, there was another case where we received something and I had to go further into the record to see who this person was, or we're getting operations managers. We don't regulate operations managers. We regulate the premise holder, or we regulate the veterinarian. So, if there is some way to remedy this without getting terribly bureaucratic, I'd love to.
This was something that happened in the clinic. It had nothing to do whether or not they missed getting it to us. Yeah. They actually shredded the records because they thought that they had scanned it into the computer.
Gotcha.
So it's nothing to do with whether or not the office manager sent us everything that needed to be there.
Okay.
This was all that was available in medical record. Yeah.
Is that what you're asking? Or because a respondent can let anybody talk for them. I mean, that's what a lawyer is for, is
right,
to let
yeah.
them do that.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't, we request this information. I mean, if they don't present it to us, then we just have to go through our statutes and regulations to deal with that. But they don't have to come in front of us. They don't have to answer our questions in this regard.
My point was more to, we have people responding on cases that deal with a veterinarian's licensure or premise license, and the people who are responding, other than attorneys, are not regulated by us. They're a corporate person. And the respondent may not even, and supposedly they're responding on behalf of or in support of the licensee. Is there a way that we can know that the licensee has, because they're the ones who we regulate, not the...
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. I think it's basically, if you put your trust in the wrong person, go with God and see what happens.
Right, yeah.
Well, in this situation, I mean, it is the veterinarian's medical record, though. So if it's missing the entire anesthetic monitoring, isn't that your responsibility?
But is it my responsibility because it wasn't filled out and done properly there, or was it shredded because of the facilities issues? So we would have to open a
I'm just curious because I know, like, as
yeah, ultimately the records are my responsibility.
Right. So if you're looking through and you're like, wait, Susie, where's my anesthetic monitoring form? Oh shoot, I thought I got that. Go grab it, scan it in, and then you're like, thanks, it's there. You know, because again. Yes, somebody else wrote it down for you, but it's still your license.
It is, yeah, but yeah. Like I said, I mean, I don't know if that changes anything in the long run.
Right, because what if Susie shredded it before,
yeah.
I mean, even if the doctor did the notes that night and said, where's my this, if she shredded it already, like the doctor can't.
And that's the minor medical record keeping violations, right? Whenever it didn't affect the outcome of the case, but it's still a violation, right? That's the administrative part. That's all I'm asking, because we found this many, 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 many
yes.
times over the years. It's an incidental finding. Again, it didn't affect the outcome of the case, but it's a thing. It happens a lot in these cases. So I'm not saying, I'm not advocating for, let's do this thing, but I'm saying that we've done it many, many times because that's part of our requirement.
Madam Chair, call for the question.
Yes, we have a motion and a second, so how about we vote on that? Okay. So a motion to dismiss case 2341 with no violation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion passes.
You like that phrase.
I know, right? okay.
Concise.
2342 in regards to Carol Yeasley, VMD. Tracy, if you could read the summary.
Yes, case 2342, the complainant is Micah Salazar, the respondent is Carol Yisley, VMD. On June 30th, 2022, Scarlett, a 3-year-old female red bone coonhound, was presented to respondent for a spay procedure. The procedure was performed and the dog was discharged later that day. On July 2nd, 2022, complainant noted the dog's incision was opening and fatty tissue was exposed. She called respondent's premises and a voicemail directed her to an emergency facility in Flagstaff. Later, the dog was able to be seen at Blue Ridge Pet Clinic for care. By the time complainant arrived, the dog's incision was completely open. The dog underwent emergency surgery to flush and close the abdomen. The dog was discharged later that day. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded the board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, thank you, Tracy. We do not have the complainant here. We have Mr. Stoll.
Mr. Stoll is monitoring only. Thank you.
Okay, great. And Dr. Thompson, you are the lead again.
Yeah, so with this case, it was an incident of a dehiscence, which can be, I mean, it's definitely very traumatic for an owner to have to witness. And even for us doctors, when that happens to one of our patients. I think the basis of this, what I felt from it was a lot of communications issues and just how, and the expectations between the two. The complainant felt that the respondent wasn't empathetic to her while she was there at the clinic. The respondent felt that she gave her proper service, and I think that was kind of the biggest part. And then what really brought it to a head was the fact that obviously we have this dehiscence, but that there wasn't staff available on the weekend, but the weekends they were closed, they did have an emergency contact on their phone for them to go someplace else, and that seemed to be a very big part of this complaint. Was that there? That they should have had emergency services available, but yet they did it just really far away. Unfortunately, it's a large breed dog. It's a younger dog. They're active. I mean, these things unfortunately do happen. I don't see anything that there was anything medically wrong. Maybe there was some lack of ideal communication or interactions, but I don't see a violation in this case. So I recommend to dismiss the violation.
Sorry.
I was concerned, like you, about the lack of communication with the owner after the event. There was just, nope, not talking to you at all.
Yeah.
Is that courteous verbal interchange? So I had that issue. And I'm also concerned that the Blue Ridge records, the clinic that repaired the dehiscence, in their record says no sutures found. I fail to see how that's possible. I'm also concerned about a 3-layer continuous closure and a 60-pound active dog, and I'm assuming there were no skin sutures. These were intradermal, continuous. 60-pound, they all say this dog is active and crazy, and so I did a 3-layer continuous. My experience is interrupted in the linea and interrupted in the skin. I'm sorry, because I've got a 60-pound dog who's very active.
And obese.
What's that?
And obese.
And obese.
Internally
obese.
Yeah, that's one point I was going to bring. That dog, look at the picture, is not obese.
She was referring to the amount of
I know it's some internal fat deposition, but that obese is the wrong term for that.
So
that's not obese.
That kind of goes into the verbal interchange.
I am obese. And probably have internal organ fat too. But that dog was not obese.
Cushioned.
Yeah. Well, and then there's also discussion whether that comment on obesity was truly reflection of the omental fat, or was it actually talking about that was their additional charge because she thought the dog was also coming in to eat.
Right.
So it was the same, that charge was...
How do I code this,
right,
if you will?
Right, and so it just, I think it stems back to the communication.
Communication.
I know that there's a lot of hatred against a simple continuous suture line on an abdominal incision, but I have done lots of them, and knock on wood, I have not had an issue, and we do it in the shelter all the time on much larger dogs.
Larger dogs, continuous.
You know, I think if you...
And this was a intradermal with glue.
Yep, that's what, that's.
And I'm in a shelter situation, I mean.
I do it in day practice all the time.
And you do it in day.
For a spay, I rarely put external sutures. If I was gonna do anything, I'd put staples in if I had some concern, but I always do intradermal.
What about the linea, the muscle layer?
Yeah, continuous, linea and continuous sub-Q.
It would scare me to death.
Yeah, that's a variation.
It would scare me to death and stuff fell out of the stone.
Well, let me ask the veterinarians in the room, would any of you be embarrassed if your sutures came out and you had a picture like that?
If
I did something wrong,
Even if my sutures didn't come out and the dog licked it open, I would be mortified. But that's just.
Well, and they could lick it open.
But that doesn't mean it doesn't happen.
Right, exactly.
I take every kind of thing that goes wrong.
We're mortified all the time.
Yes.
Sure. And the only other thing, sorry, is that the respondents seem to say, a previous surgery, the dog chewed the sutures out. Well, that has no bearing on this case.
It doesn't, but I think it's probably just trying to lay history that this, like, client compliance, you know what I mean? And that the dog has those tendencies.
It could be evidence that the owner would be more careful now.
Yeah.
Because that happened the other time. So I was a little troubled by that statement.
It's very unfortunate for the owner.
Communication,
and it's unfortunate for the owner. She was by herself with her kids, trying to deal with a large dog with stuff that's happening that's like very disturbing.
The whole situation
was just like a horrific experience, absolutely. And then the fact that the dog defecated in the kennel on the way to the vet, and like, I mean, it was a bad experience, but it doesn't.
In the car.
Yeah.
Windows up.
Well, but no,
the kids then
they
got
open. They got it to be an open incision.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know.
That too.
Yeah, but there wasn't, I mean, the actual spay itself, the suture size was appropriate, you know, so things unfortunately do happen.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to dismiss. A lot of discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
One nay.
Right. Anybody else think of the red dog and think of where the red bird goes?
Yep.
Big Dan Little Lamb.
Yep.
Okay, so now
can't think too long or we'll start crying.
Now we're on our two pack, 3 and 4, 2345 in regards to Jessica Dowling BBM and 2349 in regards to Miranda Coleman BBM. Read the summaries for those.
Yes, case 2345, Jessica Dowling, case 2349, Miranda Elliman, and the complainant is Gwen Pizarro. On September 15th, 2022, Beverly, a 2-year-old female golden doodle, was presented to Dr. Dowling for a mass on the left shoulder. A fine needle aspirate was attempted, but no cells were retrieved. Therefore, the dog was treated with antibiotics and steroids for a presumptive plant material foreign body. On October 17th, 2022, the dog was presented to Dr. Dowling for surgical removal of the mass. The mass was removed and the dog was discharged later that day. On October 24th, 2022, the dog was presented to Dr. Dowling's associate, Dr. Elliman, due to surgical site swelling and rupture. Dr. Elliman diagnosed the dog with a seroma. Sedatives were dispensed to keep the dog quiet, and it was recommended to apply warm compresses 3 to 4 times daily. Later that afternoon, the histopathology report returned and revealed that the swelling was likely due to an inflammatory reaction to a snake bite vaccination the dog had months earlier. The seroma was likely caused by a seizure reaction, therefore carbapenem was prescribed. The next day, the dog presented again for surgical site swelling. Dr. Elliman aspirated serosanguinous fluid. Since the carbapenem had not been picked up yet, Dr. Elliman dispensed prednisone and recommended continuing sedatives and warm compresses. If no improvement, they could surgically drain the seroma and place a drain. Due to the swelling being related to the snake bite vaccine, Dr. Elliman refunded the surgical fees. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred in either case 2345 or in 2349, and they made a motion to dismiss this issue, these issues with no violations. And the motion passed with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, thank you. We do not have the complaint in either case. We have Mr. Stoll.
Monitoring both.
Okay. And Dr. James, you're the lead, and you can take whichever one you want first. No, I'll actually probably discuss them together because this case kind of went back and forth between these two doctors. And I mean, ultimately, in reviewing what we had submitted, I didn't see anything medically that was done that was wrong. I think this was, there was quite a bit going on in this case, and there were a lot of things that it could have been. And I think there was a lot of like, oh, maybe that's what it is. Maybe let's check the borders. Let's do this. And ultimately, they got to a diagnosis, and probably that is what it is. But it just took a little bit together. But I don't see anything in that process that was done wrong or below the standard of care, I guess I should say. So unless anyone else saw anything different, I would make a motion that we support the findings of the investigative committee and find no violations in the case of 2345.
Second.
Okay. Motion and a second to dismiss case 2345. Is there any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. And then I will make a similar motion in the case of 2349, where we also find no violations of our practice actor rules.
Second.
Okay. A motion and a second to also dismiss case 2349. Any further discussion?
Sterile abscesses are really common with that vaccine.
Pardon?
Sterile abscesses are really common with that vaccine. Seen them so much.
I haven't.
Yeah. And I've had veterinarians talk to clients about it before because saw it so much. So,
it's
not
surprising. Oh, it isn't much, so. Yeah. Okay, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, number 6, 2344, in regards to Teresa Stastny, DVM. Read the summary, Tracy.
It is 2344, the complainant is Jordan Brewer, the respondent is Teresa Stastny. On October 10th, 2022, Max, a 5-year-old male mixed breed dog, was presented to respondent's associate for a foreign body removal. Due to the critical case presenting, the dog's surgery was moved to a later time. Surgery was eventually performed and the dog was discharged 24 hours later. On October 14th, 2022, the dog had a swelling and discharge of the cranial aspect of the incision and was started on antibiotics by the primary care veterinarian. On October 16, 2022, the dog presented to respondent's associate with incision dehiscence with a lymphoma excreting through the abdomen. The pet owner reported that the dog had been trying to scratch at the incision. The dog was left outside for a short period of time and the pet owner went to take him for a walk. They noticed the incision had opened up. Upon arrival, the dog was assessed, administered pain medication, and the omentum was cleaned off the saline and the abdomen was wrapped. Respondent's associate advised complainants of the dog's condition and recommended emergency surgery. Complainant was upset and raised, at the end of the raised voice was accusatory that the dog's incision dehiscence was a result of the delayed surgery. Respondent stepped into the room to attempt to calm complainant down and focus on getting the dog the care he needed. Complainant repeatedly stated that they were not taking accountability for the dog's complication. Respondent eventually assisted in getting the dog transferred to another facility where the dog could undergo surgery. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded the board dismissed this issue for a violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0.
Okay, thank you. We have no respondent nor complainant in this case. And Dr. Thompson, you have the lead on this one.
Yeah, here we go with another dehiscence, right?
I know, right?
Yeah. So with this case, I'm not even sure why it was brought up against this doctor, because this doctor had nothing to do with the surgery or the medical treatment of the dog initially, or she was actually just trying to de-escalate the situation. So there's absolutely no violation of the Practice Act from this doctor. And as a side comment, in case he's getting listened to, the delay of the dog's surgery at the very beginning because of the more critical animal came in had nothing to do with the fact that this incision opened up.
Right. Okay, so was that a motion
to dismiss?
Yes. Second.
Okay.
It's some more discussion. If you're worried about how long it takes, then don't wait 3 days to take the sock out.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to dismiss case 2344. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. We're going to keep going, or does anybody need a short break? Let's keep going. Let's see, we are down to 2348 in regards to Barbara Gavinsky, DVM. Tracy, if you'll please read the summary.
Case 2348, the respondent is Barbara Gavinsky, DVM. On October 6, 2022, Keith A. Fishman, Rondale, Pitbull, Council Rick, was presented to respond for weakness in the higher limbs and hospital rider body. After exam, respondent suspected chronic arthritis and was concerned for neurological issues. She recommended euthanasia, complaint declined, and wanted to treat the dog. Respondent dispensed prednisone and Robaxin and the dog was discharged. On October 7, 2022, complainant obtained a second opinion. Dr. Murbaugh examined the dog. The dog was standing and wagging his tail. Did have decreased muscle and resistance to full extension of the coxofemoral joints. Dr. Murbaugh performed a nail trim, prescribed gallop ramps, and made recommendations for more conducive flooring for the geriatric patient. Complainant expressed concerns that respondent quickly recommended the dog to be euthanized. And the committee voted to recommend a possible violation of ARS 3222.32.21 as it relates to Article 11502L8 for failure to document in the medical record the prednisone and gabapentin prescribed to the dog. It was later received after the IC committee meeting that medical records from Dr. Gavinsky reflecting the information was documented in the record.
Okay. Thank you. And we have no complainant, and we have Mr. Stoll.
Just a very brief statement.
Okay.
Again, the investigative committee found no medical issues in this case, but proposed a minor record-keeping violation kind of along the lines of what we were talking about earlier. The practice has only recently transitioned from handwritten records to computerized records. The computerized treatment records were printed out and submitted with Dr. Gavinsky's response, but the computerized records related to medications are in a separate program under their medical record system, and unfortunately they were inadvertently omitted from the response. The same day as the investigative committee meeting, I contacted Dr. Gavinsky. She was able to print out those medication records for you in response to the committee's concern. Now that those records have been submitted, the complaint may be dismissed with no violation. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. And Dr. Wright, you are the lead on this one.
Yes. Thank you. So yeah, going through and looking at all this, I see where the initial concerns were. It's a more of a bookkeeping thing, but it says prednisone and gabapentin, but it's prednisone and methocarbamol. So I don't know if we need to update that, or since, yeah. But yeah, I mean, going through here, the initial history is kind of a little lacking, in my opinion, but I don't think there's a violation of anything there. But beyond there, I'm not seeing anything that looks like a violation. And now that we have in the separate record the medications and the labels from those medications, I would make a motion to dismiss this with no violation.
Thank you. Motion and a second. Any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor? Sorry,
I wasn't cooking it. I was still deciding on whether it was. I was thinking of a letter of concern just along the lines that you should get it all at once. And I understand the transition, but when this transition is done, and we actually got three cases very similar to this month, when that transition is done and they're paperless, will it be in one place or not?
Well, all the softwares are so different. It's not even funny. And in the other case, I didn't have any records at all because, oops, they got shredded. So,
well, yeah,
why would you
issue
a letter of concern in this case?
Well, I mean, I guess I would be concerned.
This one may exist.
If I was a practice owner, I'd be concerned about, well, what are my options for record keeping out there? Because
there's so many times.
That is a nightmare.
It's a horrible nightmare.
And there's so many that just.
And then they issue an update, and it breaks other things, and you can't access half your stuff, and
it's constantly. They get
maybe I just found my new career.
Yeah,
no kidding.
But there's 18,000 medical record systems out there.
Engineer to help me.
Yeah, there's no real regulation to it, so someone makes up a company. Yeah, it's hard. But yeah, no, I understand what you're saying for sure. But yeah, I think it's just a headache we're gonna have to deal with.
Okay, well, I'm not going to add to their headache with a letter of concern.
So we have a motion and a second to dismiss the case. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, we are at 2350 in regards to Daniel Guastella, DVM. Read the summary.
Case 2350, the complainant is Virginia Ambrose Mowry. The respondent is Daniel Guastella, DVM. On November 27, 2018, Cody, a 6-year-old male Maltese mix, was presented to respondent after fracturing both front legs on November 23, 2022. The previous day, respondent discussed possible stabilization techniques based on the fractures. However, the injuries would be assessed intraoperatively to determine what type of fixation would be best. In addition to the fractures of both front legs, the dog had a significant angular limb deformity up to the right limb. The dog's right front fracture was repaired with a plate and screws, and the left front limb was stabilized with an external skeletal fixator. On January 31st, 2019, the ESF was removed on the left front leg. Radiographs revealed non-union fractures on both front legs. Respondent opined that it was possible complainant did not give the dog the opportunity to walk home, which can cause non-unions to occur. On February 14, 2019, the dog underwent revision surgery to both front limbs by Dr. Stacy. At the 3-month recheck, the limbs were healed and complainant was satisfied with the outcome. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded to dismiss this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0. And the complainant did submit a statement last night, and she couldn't be here this morning.
Okay, thank you. We do not have a complaint here, and we have Mr. Stoll.
Monitoring only.
Okay.
Thank you.
Monitoring. And Dr. Wright, you are the lead on this one.
Yes, thank you. And again, going through this and looking and seeing, this is one of those difficult ones because was there something medically done wrong, or is this just an unfortunate outcome? And from what I'm seeing, I don't see anything medically done wrong. Fixation of bones can really be just a problematic thing in general. I mean, Wolf's Law is a real thing. If you have too rigid of a fixation, the body's like, cool, I don't need bone here anymore, so it doesn't really want to heal things. Sometimes you just have issues in general. I mean, I've seen actual bones dissolve away, not just non-unions, but actually the body's like, cool, I'm just going to take away a whole few inches of bone. But again, is that an actual problem with the surgery or the techniques, or is that just unfortunately how the body works sometimes? So basically saying all that, I don't see any violations of the statute act that I can find. I don't see any problems with the actual surgery. It's just an unfortunate outcome. So I'd make a motion to dismiss with no violation.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second to dismiss case.
And I would add along with those, I was thinking, I was wondering if anybody else thinks the same thing. It could have very well easily been reversed, right? The first guy could have done what this guy did, had the same result, and the second guy fixed it, and should have said nice things about him and filed a complaint on the other one, right? I mean, that's what it seems like to me. It could have easily been the other way around.
And I understand the frustration of a very expensive surgery, too, but it's just, it's unfortunately medicine happens.
And don't drop your dog.
Well, in orthopedics, I mean, the toy dogs are the worst dogs. The blood supply to that distal area is so poor, yeah. And they have a high complication rate. And I think there was some confusion because of the X-Fix and not understanding what that was, and that looked like a barbaric contraption, yeah. Right? But, you know, and in lots of cases, those are actually better because you're not going in there digging around. So I think there was just lack of understanding on why we've got different ones, and this doesn't look like it's normal. You just put stuff on my dog's leg, so.
Yeah. And if the app doesn't work, then you do the one that they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's just two boarded surgeons with two different outcomes.
Yeah.
The only thing that I had a little concern was listening, the respondent stated, what do you think happened? And he said, I thought it might be protection, stress, inactivity. In the discharge instructions, there wasn't anything regarding that. He said, so the reason that maybe this failed is because this dog wasn't encouraged to walk. And then you read the discharge, and it says everything the opposite. And if you read you listen to the complainant, they were like holding this dog in their lap, basically, for the whole time. And then the reason was because, the possible reason was because we had protection, stress, inactivity. So I had a little trouble maybe somewhere in those discharge instructions should have been, let your dog move around a little or these bones aren't going to heal. So.
Which to a regular person, that seems contraindicated, right? Whenever you're trying to heal.
Sure.
But it sounded like she communicated much better with the second surgeon. That's the reason that, you know, there was the affinity towards that second surgeon. Mm-hmm. It's just their communication styles seem very, very different, which you can appreciate from human to human.
Yeah. 90% of what comes before us, communication.
Right.
Flight
99.
Good deal.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to dismiss the case. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. We are now down to number 12, 2382, in regards to Sarah Garatenuto, DVM. This is a straight to the board one, and we'll have Tracy.
Yes, case 2382, the defendant is Miranda Nix. The respondent is Sarah Garatenuto, DVM. On January 19th, 2023, Monroe, a 10-month-old male domestic short hair cat, was neutered by a respondent at a location without a kennel license. Complainant further expressed concerns that the cat was not a surgical candidate due to chronic gastrointestinal issues. This case was brought directly to you for your review and consideration.
Okay, and it looks like we've got Mr. Stoll here.
Monitoring, yes.
Okay, sounds good. And Dr. Byrne, you are the lead on this one.
Yes, so after reviewing the case, the initial complaint was about the premise location and that she had done it at her house, which turned out that was not true. The cat was castrated at the Southern Arizona Cat Rescue. Under the sedation for the anesthesia for the neutering procedure, she had done a rectal exam to rule out the mechanical stricture in her rectum for the cause of the chronic diarrhea, and had obtained a fecal sample for culture, which ultimately was used to modify their treatment plan for the chronic diarrhea. Successfully castrated the cat and has chosen to apply for a premise license that best fits her practice model. So I would make a recommendation to dismiss.
Second.
Okay. A motion and a second.
Just to add, so we can put this on the record, that no good deed will be unpunished. And I really appreciate, and I'm sorry that this veterinarian had to write a three-page explanation for something that never should have happened. I mean, it's not her. She did do everything right. She did ask the right questions. She did behave properly. But anybody can file a complaint for any reason, and we have to go through the process.
Right.
So,
they're not the pet owner.
You know.
Especially if there's rescues involved.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, she did everything right. And she did a very good job responding, and I just thought about how long it would take me to write that down, and it's probably time she wished she had back.
And I wanted to address the complainant's concern about the patient not being a surgical candidate due to chronic gastrointestinal issues. Sometimes with chronic gastrointestinal issues, surgery is needed to actually go in and get biopsies, so that's not a contraindication for surgery. Yeah. So I just wanted to address that since that was specifically talked about too. That's not a contraindication in that case, especially.
Okay. I have a question just for clarification, and it's not specific to this case, although this case is what made me think of it.
But
this
it's not person on the agenda.
No, it is specific. It's about this case, kind of. If this person's acting as a volunteer and the organization contracts a volunteer to do this work, are they considered an employee?
That might be legal advice, and you might want to go into executive session.
But there's no contract.
Yeah,
it is voluntary. There's no payment. No,
it won't affect this case. I guess this case kind of brought it up to my attention on how we should be handling those. So we can wait till a case comes up where I need it.
I think that does tie into one of the previous questions.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to dismiss case 2382. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. We are on to number 13, 2389, in regards to Jessica Uniga, DVM. This was another straight to the board. Tracy, you'll read the summary.
Yes, this case is on January 18th, 2023, the Arizona Veterinary Medical Examining Board opened investigation regarding respondent's failure to pay for her veterinary license application and patient's application fees. So she was notified, she did respond, saying that she was no longer, she didn't want to keep her license here in Arizona. I responded to her, letting her know that that's fine, but she still had not paid for the initial fees. And I had not heard from her since then, so.
So I guess I missed that part in the, where she actually responded.
Wait, are we?
Which one?
Simply we're confusing that with the different.
It wasn't a trial license, is that your thing? It wasn't a trial period?
Did I write them down wrong?
23 in that, Jessica.
I thought this was the one who didn't pay her license application and issuance fees.
It is.
Yeah.
I just didn't see any communication on that, that she actually communicated back.
Oh, I apologize.
I thought there was all, you know, she got three letters and there's no.
And did nothing.
Yeah, and it did absolutely nothing, so.
That was originally, yes, but when I sent out the letter for the investigation, I believe I sent it through an email. And she responded that she did not want to be licensed here in Arizona, which I think it says it's lapsed. And.
We can help with that.
And I said that that's fine, she does not need to keep her license here, or doesn't have to have her veterinary license here, but this was in reference to her initial application fees.
She had a license for 2 years and hadn't paid for it.
Right.
So she did work here one time, she doesn't want to continue to work here.
Maybe not, she's in Las Vegas, so she just may have had an Arizona license and there, we don't know.
But the license was active.
But she had the license, it was active, and she didn't pay for it, so.
So what she said was, thank you for the update, because since we didn't hear from her via mail, I sent her an email. And she said, thank you for the update, but I do not wish to renew my license in Arizona. At one point, I was considering working in Arizona, but now that is not the case. How do I remove myself from wanting to renew my Arizona license? And I had responded that that wasn't the issue. The issue was that she did not pay.
She didn't pay for the 2 years she had.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Since 2021, yeah.
Yeah. So. Our findings of fact are that she has not paid her license fees, her veterinary license application and her issuance application fees, $400 and $100 respectively, for a total of $500. She's been notified with three letters. And that is a violation, not paying that those fees, is a violation of ARS 3222-33A1 as it relates to R 311-204-C2.
I think for the findings of fact. I think on the findings of fact, we need to remove number six and add in that she was subsequently emailed and what her response was. It doesn't affect what your violation, but I just think we need to update the findings of fact.
And so I'm not going to change my findings of fact, but I will update my findings of fact with the email information.
Yeah.
Well, in our possession.
The six specifically says no response was received.
What is?
Right.
In the findings of fact. So you need to remove six and add that an email was sent regarding the issue.
Where are you reading the findings of fact?
Our updated six.
Mm-hmm. Oh, our proposed one, okay.
I'm a little.
I was making my own.
I have a question. You said there's a violation of 3222-33A1.
Yeah.
Unprofessional.
Yeah, if you're not paying for it, you used your license for 2 years, you didn't pay for it.
Okay, I'm looking back at, like the original license.
Or you lease applied, you had a license for 2 years, doesn't mean they used it, but you still have it.
You have it.
Yeah.
I was wondering if it would be a violation.
So she had the use of it.
Yep.
Practicing without, is the license valid if you haven't paid for it for 2 years?
Well, it was because of it.
It's because of COVID.
Re-administered.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, so we could delay the payment.
Yeah.
So the payment was still due. But I'm just wondering, is it more of a violation of?
I thought I had this ready to go, just fast and easy, we gotta make it take a long truck.
So we have a motion to find a violation.
Can you hear us one second?
Yeah.
I think the violation is the failure of paying a fee.
Yeah.
So it would be a violation of your rule as it relates to one of them, at least 201A3.
That's what I was thinking.
Which rule?
And then we've got an issue over the issuance fee.
A3. Yes, okay, it's page 9 of the rules.
Okay. So you don't have to have a statute to relate that to?
Yeah, a violation of the rule, which would be, what was that, 9, 8, 9, 18? 18, I think. So 32, 22, 32, 18, failure to violate the rule. But I'm not sure about the issuance fee yet.
So it can't be yours and mine both?
If you'd like.
Are we saying the same thing, just a different way?
So would it be 32, 22, 15, the qualifications for licensing to practice veterinary medicine? A, an applicant for a license under this chapter shall, pay a license fee of $750, or is that one?
That's.
Is that specialty maybe there?
Yes, special.
That's a heading that's just.
Okay, I'm gonna accept yours. What is it? 32, 22, 32?
That's the condition.
18.
Violating or attempting.
As it relates to R311, 201, A3.
A3, yeah.
Yeah, but there's a statute that talks also that they've gotta pay the issuance fee, and she didn't pay that either.
Yeah, that's where I'm more looking at. But that's, is that 32, 22, 15 though?
Let's take a look. You said 15?
Yeah, 32, 22, 15, right there.
Okay, let's see.
Distribution of narcotics.
No, C5. Well, no, it's, okay, hold on. No, but that's qualifications for license to practice. Where is the fees portion? Because 22-13 talks about applications for license, retention of examination materials, but where is the actual statute for the fees?
That's what we're.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to find. Because that is statute, not rule.
The amount, the fee is a statute?
I know it's in here somewhere.
Would be put to the front.
32, 22, 12C.
32, 22, 19.
22, 19.
There, okay, it's the very end of it, okay. I had to scroll down far enough, good job.
Thank you.
Yeah, every original applicant for a veterinary license or a veterinary faculty member license shall be accompanied by examination fee of not more than $400. So that's 32, 22, 19A. And then there's also the.
Could that still be 18 as it relates to?
Both of them, yeah, the statute for the issuance fee and then the rule for the.
So it'd be A and B, right?
Yeah,
3A and B?
It needs to be B, because B is the issuance.
Par 311.
Issuance, yeah.
It's under 18, and it's the rule, and then also the...
That says not more than 100 or 200.
Yeah, so it'd be A, because every original, because this is an original application. So it definitely would be 32, 22, 19A. Every original application for a veterinary license or a veterinary faculty member license shall be accompanied by an examination fee of not more than $400. Then we would have...
For every issuance.
Yeah, because then we have the issuance fee, which is that rule or is that statute also?
No, it's B, 22, 19B.
All right.
Oh, and it's only 100 because it was a...
It's 100 and the number of years.
Okay, there you go. Okay, so it's A and B then. Okay.
And this is a consent agreement?
Okay, so I'm going to start this. Scratch my, so we'll do... What were you telling me, number six to take out of there?
That there's no response, but the email response that you provided.
So you're saying like a failure to respond to a board order?
I'm looking at it.
It just said that there is no response, but there was, she didn't know.
Oh, it was just correcting that.
Yeah.
Yeah, just that's what Dr. James was saying, just in our findings of fact.
All right, so I'm going to find in case 2389. We will amend or strike number six in our findings of fact. Otherwise, we'll keep those proposed findings of fact. As our findings of fact, our conclusions of law is our violation of 32, 22, 19A and B. As that relates to R311-201-3.
Should that be forwarded to...
Yeah.
Do we use 18?
Should that be forwarded to Nevada or no?
3A.
What now?
Does that get forwarded to Nevada?
And then what did you want?
It will when we get done. Wait a minute. We're not done with the consent deal.
Okay.
So we vote on that. Findings of fact, conclusions of law.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I need a second.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
All right, so I'm going to offer a consent agreement. If not signed within 15 days, goes to an informal, to a formal. Pay up.
Is that just wait, just pay?
Pay the money.
Yeah.
And the...
But it is $500.
Total?
$500.
Is there any late fees that you have add on or no?
$500.
So $500.
Yeah, $500. Well, it could be nitpicky, but I'll be happy with $500.
All right.
But her license is suspended. It's suspended, right? So that is memorialized doing this.
Well, what will happen is once she signs the consent agreement, the case will be over and then her license will be deemed, is it lapsed or expired?
Lapsed.
Lapsed.
But if she doesn't sign it, it's suspended.
Then we go to formal hearing. Yeah, it's still remains suspended.
It remains suspended.
Yeah.
Which will be reported to anybody who inquires.
Yeah.
I was going to say, so like for renewal or anything, do the other states have to contact AAVSB for that? Or how does that work?
It's up to the state.
They wouldn't unless she was applying for a new license in another state.
So if you're currently licensed somewhere, they're not going to check and see your status of your other licenses?
This is kind of like our checkbox at the bottom of our renewal. It says, do you have any actions against you in other states? If they say no, we don't verify that unless we happen to find something and then they go and deal with it at that point.
Okay, so you did how many days?
15 days.
Okay, so we're good.
Or moves to a formal.
Moves to a formal. Second to a formal. So we've got a motion and a second. Let's do roll call. Dr. James?
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Mr. Lobey?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Okay,